Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network, for the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews. Press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies.
I'm opening.
We have
an eye, sort of a nostril, two teeth. One of the teeth has a small cavity. Close call, folks, but I think we got here just in time.
Presented by Maria Menounos and Kevin Undergaro. This is Anatomy of a Movie. In-depth discussions and breakdowns of various movie titles. And now that you've seen the movie, let the dissection begin.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another Anatomy of a Movie here on Popcorn Talk. Today, we're doing Concussion.
Yes,
the
we are.
The new Will Smith movie. And it's all about football, and it's all about concussions. And if you guys are and have been following us on a regular basis, you know that if you're watching us, that this is not the regular panel. But that doesn't mean that the quality diminishes any less than it normally does. It's always very high. We have a high standard here. We have Chelsea Galicia joining us today.
Hi, thanks for having me.
She brings her legal perspective, and we're going to be talking a lot about this. I mean, there's so many different angles to talk about this. And then we have Cameron Penny.
That's right. What's up? Happy holidays, everybody.
And he is a man that loves football.
That's right. Boom, boom, crash, kick, stomp. Touchdown.
This is going to be a rough one.
This is a very diversified panel, as it should be. I mean, you know, I got to say, like, from my perspective, you know, I enjoy football. I've never really played except for, like, you know, at recess back in, like, middle school. But nonetheless, I enjoy watching football. And so I feel very much like Alec Baldwin's character. Like, this is a difficult thing for me. And, you know, I want to get your guys' overall impressions and what you guys thought of this movie. But the tough part for me, the only thing that I think failed, and it's because that it's still happening today, is that it didn't really offer a solution. Mm-hmm. And that was the more frustrating part, because I think there is a way to perhaps, at least I'm hopeful in that way.
Yeah, I don't know. I think the solution is one that we all don't want to acknowledge.
They're not getting rid of football.
All right. So,
what do you think, Chelsea?
You don't have to get rid of it. You could just tell people what they can expect.
The Surgeon General warning on the helmet.
Exactly.
As they joke.
If people want to play, but they know all the risks, let them play.
Okay.
It's the not knowing that is wrong. Okay. So overall, I was amazed. It was better than I thought it would be. I was really just stunned at how good it was. Had a lot of great dialogue, a lot of great lines. Will Smith was really good. I was pretty impressed by his accent. That worked. At first I was like, oh man, this is going to be tough for me to buy into, but eventually I did. And I just thought it was riveting. I was fully engaged the whole time. I think it's amazing. Everyone should see it for sure.
As a guy who played football and loved football and broke both his arms playing football and a finger and a leg, which is all a true story. Shout out to Mooney High School, Cardinal Mooney back in the day, Youngstown Penguins, Little League, and who has a 15-year-old son who loves football and wants to play football. I was on the fence with the movie because doing my preparation for Popcorn Talk, I read that it said that if 10% of the mothers of football players knew the risk, there would be no more football in the next 15, 20 years. So that's kind of startling. But, I mean, the NFL profits itself off of these big hits and these highlight reels when you watch on ESPN or an ESPN network. But just like any other danger, when you're going to war, you know you have the potential of dying, but there should be more of an educational process. But there's nothing you can do about, because the hit is the money. That's the highlight. That's where they get their viewers.
Yeah. I mean, I think we're all coming to a consensus. As long as people know, because there's plenty of examples that I can think of, whether it's backcountry skiing, whether mm-hmm. it's, you know, climbing Mount Everest, whatever, there's things, bungee jumping, you know, but to people, they're aware of the risk, but the reward is greater than the risk taken.
And here's a little corollary to the as long as you know. Children don't know. Children in this country, we don't let them smoke and we don't let them drive cars.
Some do.
Well, as a country, with these laws that we have, we don't allow them to, because children aren't old enough to mature enough, sophisticated enough to weigh the risks and the rewards. So if children can't play football, then it may be the end of football, but I can't see how we can have kids sign off on it when they can't know. I guess we'll let it be up to their parents, but you're right. I heard that too. 10% of American mothers knew and understood the risk and didn't let their kids play football. It would, I can't see how football would go away altogether, but it would diminish the pool of people dying to get into the NFL.
Now, I've seen two types. I've seen the inner city kids, all they have is football. They don't have enough money for the digital and technology gadgets, so all they get is the $15 football and they play, and they know that's their way out of the ghetto or the hard times they're having. So sometimes you look past it. But one thing I will say, I've coached Little League, and some of the coaches do challenge the kids, hit harder, go harder, go, you know, hit them, you know, go head first. You know, one of the things, it's so funny we talk about this, because when I was playing Little League, the main thing I was scared of at practice, when it was called Bull in the Ring. Mm-hmm. And they would call your name. My last name is Penny. They would say, Penny, go. And they would say, how you say your last name? Fizik?
There you go. We'll go with that.
They were like, Penny, Fizik, get in there. And our job for 60 seconds was to keep hitting each other in the head. And that was the one thing I was scared about. I never liked that because I would leave dizzy. But
The name of the movie is a little, I wouldn't say deceiving, but that's the word that comes to mind. Because these big hits, the ones that we're talking about here, aren't the biggest cause of CTE, or let me see if I can get this right, chronic traumatic encephalopathy.
Congratulations.
Thanks. It took a lot of work. The real cause, as I'm understanding it, is the lower impact, but sort of daily ongoing,
yeah,
smaller hits that lead to this over time. So it's not just those big ones. In fact, I think it's less about those big, huge ones than the smaller ones that we don't see.
There's a differentiation of, you know, I mean, you can have a major concussion and it's short term and, you know, and it can have long term effects, but it's very different than, you know, what long term effects of what CTE actually is. And so there's various distinctions. I do want to ask you guys this in terms of who is this movie for, right? We have a diverse panel here, which is great. But is it for football fans? Is it for not football fans?
It's for Will Smith to rejuvenate his career because he's back.
You think it has done that?
Oh, definitely. I mean, he nailed the role. I mean, like she said, after a while, can I watch Will? But by 30 minutes in, you're convinced that he's Dr. Amalu. Mm-hmm. He was very, very convincing, and his passion and his charisma still being Will Smith came through. But I think this football, I think it was more of a challenge to the NFL. I mean, it's a big topic on every news broadcast, and I think it brings light, and they knew it was going to bring dollars. I mean, it only brought $10 million, but...
Well, so far. It's only been out a week.
Yeah.
So, not even that. I mean, it came out Christmas.
Yeah, 5 days ago. So that's pretty good.
So I think this is for Americans. Anybody that watches football, whose kids are in football, who support the league, who go to games, who consider whether they want to attract a team to their city. we all have to be informed about it. I had no idea just how much money taxpayers put into the NFL without knowing it. For me, that's a big deal because I want to be like, give me that money back. Mm-hmm. I think we saw in the movie, they say that like $230 million taxpayer dollars had been used to build the stadium. So we're politically subsidizing the NFL, an institution that makes, I think last year I said, what I read was like seven,
I think you said.
I've heard $7 billion, and then I heard $9 billion. Either way, plenty of billions of dollars that they don't need our tax money. So really, I mean, it's almost that no one in America is untouched by football in one way or another. So I think everyone should see
they
it.
They said in the movie, football is a day of the week. I mean,
that was stunning. I loved that line.
Because that's the truth. Actually,
I would say that's Dr. Hex. You got Sunday, you got technically Monday night football.
Thursday night.
But when they said football has its own day of the week, and that day of the week used to be owned by God, you're like, holy.
That's real.
Yeah.
Some people don't even go to church for 16 weeks because stay home, watch your football.
I mean, that really brings it home how
important,
massive, mm-hmm, yeah, this institution is.
Well, also now, I mean, in the modern age, like, even just a couple years ago, you had fantasy football. Now you have, like, daily fantasy football. Mm-hmm. So the tentacles of football extend beyond.
It's supporting our shows. It supports Justice is Served. So, you know, I mean, it reaches all aspects of our life.
We're natural gladiators. We're, you know, from the Roman times. It's just something about combat. And football happens to be an outlet for Americans. And concussion has been thrown under the rug for so many years, as you've seen in the movie. They always try to hide it and deny that people were suffering. You know, when Junior Seau, one of the biggest football players ever, committed suicide, it's like, it's time to take a look at this. And I think this movie does that.
Whew. I mean, I fully understand the thought that we are, like, barbaric animals, and this is just this is like modern America's version of it. But if you really look at how humans evolved, we evolved to be cooperative and kind and compassionate and all that. We don't actually need this aggression towards each other, even though historically it's
been there.
But listen,
you take it doesn't matter. You take the Olympics. Rugby's similar in this way. I mean, I'm sure they don't even have pads, let alone helmets. But
in that way, I think it might be gentler because people would get knocked the F out.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm actually not an expert on that. But I do know that at this time, it does not appear that there is a safe way to play football. They're saying that.
And maybe there isn't.
And I think that the movie did a really great job of breaking down the science and making it really understandable, because it takes you on the journey of how Dr. Omalu figured it out in the first place, the testing he had to order, exactly, you know, how it came together. And so for me, I understood the science pretty well. Did you feel like you got a good sense of it?
Oh, yeah, it was real. Actually, I'm from Youngstown, Ohio, which is 45 minutes away from Pittsburgh. So I actually remember the whole Mike getting found in his car and that whole situation.
So the way that he explains it, and then when he explained it to that one doctor, like, he says, you know, the pelican has the beak and the woodpecker has, you know, and the woodpecker's tongue wraps around its brain to keep the impact from. I mean, you understand really that what this comes down to is, like, the brain is in water and it's not supposed to touch the skull, and these hits cause the brain to actually come in contact with the skull, and it builds up scar tissue. Basically, it's like a callus on the brain itself, and that's what causes people to experience the symptoms that they do. And it's really sad that you can't diagnose it until somebody dies, because you have to be able to examine their brain. But I think that I loved how well it was explained, it was described, so that we could now have a conversation like, is there a way to make football
safe?
Well,
in the last 5 years, NFL has put up 39 rule changes to help stop concussions, you know, head-on collisions, and, you know, they penalize. Matter of fact, Odell Beckham Jr. just got suspended a game for launching himself at a football player. So, they, like I said, 39 rule changes in 5 years. They're working, but when somebody running with that ball, it's either him or me. I need that ball to fumble so we can score. So I got to knock his socks off, and that's what it comes down to. They just can't go push him. He's not going to fall. These are 225 meat. This is all muscle.
I hear you. Yeah, that's why I'm not so hopeful about.
Was you ever dated a football player?
Would I ever?
That's a no. That's a no.
Too long.
Well, you know, one of my
no.
Very good friends is dating a player, and I hope for him that he doesn't one day have these symptoms. And he was actually a friend of Junior Seau's, so I'm sure he's concerned. And now that I know him and
seeing the movie, like, wow,
yeah.
Well, I think, you know, I mean, there's a bunch of articles that came out, obviously, because of this, and some even date the discovery of CT back to 1920.
That's when I heard it was named. So the movie got that wrong, which was an interesting thing, that they say that Dr. Omalu named the condition, but actually that's not so, because the condition's been around since 1920s. That is a weird
misfact.
Yeah.
I mean, misfact, truthfully.
At the end of the day, I mean, it's a movie, so to have everything factual, and we'll talk about more of the inaccuracies, but just in general, I think what I like, at least, and hopefully this is what comes out of it, is that there may be a solution to this. There may not be, but at the very least, like, if we can stop hiding the fact that this causes it, then at least we can move towards that and try to figure something out. I don't know. You know, maybe there's some injection into the brain and the tongue will wrap itself. I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, something.
You might win a Nobel Prize for that kind
of... I would.
No, I don't, you know, I don't even know what to say. As playing football and watching it every Sunday and Saturday and Thursday and college football.
I mean, this is, oh my God, you guys, we have really got to find something else to be. This much football, I mean, this is, it's an unbelievable number of hours to be watching something where people running around hitting each other.
Yeah, but no, but it's the excitement of touchdowns and
I grew up watching it. I was in a household that watched football and I still watch it sometimes. But this is an obsession, which is why this movie is so difficult to digest. It's the same reason that, you know, as we've learned about sugar, we don't want to accept that. Now, this year, the World Health Organization came out and said bacon and sausage will give you cancer and we don't want to accept that. It's the same thing.
No.
Football.
Porn is an obsession. Pornhub.com was a session.
I wonder, football, does porn make $9 billion
it makes,
a year?
I'm sure it's
$7 billion a year, whatever it is.
No, here's the, I mean, everything.
Hey, engineer, he can answer that. He's married. what is porn?
No, we're not going to throw him under the bus.
No, I think, here's the thing. I don't want to talk necessarily about the merits of how good or not good football is, because we can have that debate. You know, there's people that like football. There's people who absolutely hate football. And you know what? I've learned that you're never going to convince one or the other of the other thing, especially when they so whatever blindly believe in that. And you know what, at the end of the day, even the person that doesn't necessarily like football, guess what, I'm sure they like something else
that's, and then unhealthy.
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
Coffee, cigarette, something.
So, you know, so I don't think that's the discussion to be had. You know, it just is. I mean, there's plenty of other businesses. But again, I think it drives towards more, like, where can we get to it and how can we educate people? And as long as they're educated, then we're good.
I think you're right about that. I think this movie does a great job at that.
I want to ask you guys this, because it started off, it started off kind of as an exploration. And then once we knew what CTE was, then it got sort of from there very lectury. Because basically everyone he was going against was opposing him, and rightfully so. But it turned into very much lecture-based.
I heard that critique of it. I thought the dialogue was amazing. Really, really well done. The conversations, I felt, were probably similar to ones that really took place. And I didn't feel like I was being preached to. I felt like I was being presented with both sides. You know, Dr. Amalu, the science, and people in the NFL, you know, just the magnitude of how big and important the institution is and why they would fear this information coming out so much, why they were so resistant to acknowledging it, why they may have intimidated the doctor and his family members into not saying anything.
I mean, they just settled a case and they gave 4,500 former players $765 million.
So yeah, earlier this year we talked about that on Justices Served, which you can catch us over on BHL Justices Served.
BlackHollywoodLive.com.
Yeah.
People don't always don't know what that is.
Oh, sorry.
You assume.
Yes, I did. So it was what seemed like a lot of money, like $1 billion, and that was for players that played on or before July 7, 2014. And it seems like a lot of money. And I know that the players really, most of them, like 99% of them, wanted that deal. A couple of them have appealed it, which has probably delayed the receiving of benefits for everybody. And I could see that, you know, once you're in that situation where you realize you have this condition, and as of now, I don't know if there's any cure, real treatment. I mean, you can probably just... You just need the money to be able to survive, not have to work and not have to rely on using your brain too much because it falters. So it sounds like a lot of money, $1 billion. But like we've been saying, in just a single year, yes, the NFL brings in something like $7 billion. Yes. So I don't think that the settlement deal that was approved is good for the players. I know they're in a desperate situation. Yeah. They want it and they need it. Of course, the NFL did not have to acknowledge that they knew anything, that they've done anything wrong. So there was no punitive damages in that. And then I also don't know the selection criteria to who are they going to give this money to? Because you don't know you have CTE until after you died. So, you know, can you just say you have headaches and dizziness and then you just get the money? I mean, which doctors are the ones that have to say, yes, your symptoms right now are coming from all those years of playing or not? So this is not over. Just because the NFL is giving some money or set, you know, there's a chunk of money being allocated to it, I don't know how well the money is going to actually get to the players that need it. And I would be pretty suspicious that it's not going to go well.
Right.
Because, and I don't think that this movie vilified the NFL. At least not unfairly. I mean, certainly it doesn't show them in most positive light.
I mean, you know, here's the thing. From a story perspective, I don't think they didn't really offer up the NFL as much side to the argument. I mean, yes, it could be truthful in that way, but I would have liked to see kind of behind the scenes. Like, if you look at great Westerns, you see both the villain and the main character, and you know, you kind of...
Another story.
Yeah, you don't just make them good and bad. You make them very, very conflicted and one and the same. And so, obviously, it's tougher for a story like this because... You know, I mean, how are you going to paint this guy to have anything wrong with him, meaning Bennett? You know, and that
I thought they really tried to present the side of the NFL, especially with Alec Baldwin's character, who was a former doctor in the NFL who now recognized Dr. Amalu's work. He was the one, I think, that spoke from that, who tried to convey to the audience and who conveyed, at least to me, pretty well, like, oh, yeah, this is just a giant, massive conglomerate of teams that really own America's, you know, entertainment. So I thought it was fair to the
NFL.
But it
came out of greed rather than, like... And maybe that's what it ultimately is.
It did talk about how many thousands of people are employed by the NFL.
The NFL is big business. I mean, lives, like you said, a day of the week. But the way they...
I mean, they're a holiday. Super Bowl.
Exactly. I mean, that's the biggest day of the year, pretty much. But I like the way they started to present us with Dr. Amalu, with him being on the stand and going over his list of achievements. That was... And him being a Nigerian immigrant, coming here and discovering this disease and them trying to... just shelf it. That's why I loved Albert Brooks' character, because he kind of gave a comedic edge to Dr. Amalu's so focused. When he said, what did he say, America was here and
heaven was a little bit lower.
Yeah, heaven was just a little bit lower. That shows you the importance of America.
I think it was heaven and then America.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, heaven and then here's America right here. That just shows you the importance of football, because that's how we're known in a lot of other places.
Right. And he says that he thought growing up that America was where God sends his favorite people. Like, oh, man. And so this man was like, he was kind of an unwitting hero. He didn't want to really be the
one
that discovered.
That's a good way to say it.
This and make America and Americans, you know, most favorite institution look bad.
Yeah, that's a good way. He didn't want to put any bad thing on America, the place that he loved and he wants to raise his family and get married. But he discovered, like everybody else, America has secrets. And when he went to expose them, I wish the NFL would have did more to be a part of the movie. Like, you know, maybe Roger Goodell, and because a lot of them didn't answer emails or take phone calls. Mm-hmm. And stayed away from it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's interesting. They partook with Draft Day, and they really kind of embraced that movie, and it shows in the right ways. And this movie, there's an article, I forget who kind of came out with it, but a lot of comparison, basically saying the ways in which Sony had to alter the movie to appease the NFL lawyers.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they worked with the NFL, just not from the perspective that we were hoping for.
Think as much as we got a sense that the NFL were the bad guys of the movie with something to hide, I think they could have stuck it to them a lot.
That's what I'm saying. If you're going to do it, go all out. Stick it to them.
But I think the NFL would have sued, and I don't think they wanted to deal with that.
Well, especially because, I mean, it's Sony, right? So, it's, you know, they're coming out of the Sony hack scandal. The script already leaked for this. So, Sony's not in a good place to be fighting any battles right now. They just want to recoup from that and just be done with it.
And I think if you villainize the NFL too much, then that would be everybody's first reaction instead of, oh, the NFL did something wrong, because people identify with the NFL so closely, like you. So they want to, yes, they want to see, like, okay, you know, my heroes aren't perfect, but if they were, if they had vilified them to the extreme.
Tell the truth. Tell the truth. That's all we wanted.
Vilified them to the extreme and stuck it to them the way I kind of wish they had been able to. It would have, I think, been a turnoff to a lot of people. So I think it ended up playing well.
All I know is last week of football is this Sunday, and I'm sad that the season's about to be over. And
say,
my,
look.
And my Browns didn't do nothing.
Hypnotized. Just hypnotized.
I mean, like, let me ask you this just in general. Like, how much do you know about Roger Goodell and kind of – because I would have liked to see the inner workings. Yes, we got a little glimpse of that, but
– they cut down a lot of – they chopped out a lot of his scenes, too. I mean, they smoked. Yeah.
And that's where a lot of these, you know, that they were trying to appease the NFL, and, you know, it's
because they can't make, because if they would have somebody that looks like Roger Goodell and is named in the movie Roger say something, then, you know, Roger could have sued everybody for defamation. And so that's why you don't want to have a real life person say something that in real life they didn't actually say, or you don't know if they said it.
I think, you know, it's tricky because do you cut it down for time, or was it really the NFL? That's where the tricky part, you know, comes in, because it could have very much been for time. But, you know, the question for me is why, you know, what's the real transcript of any of these speeches Roger Goodell has talked about, and just take that, because mm-hmm. then it's just historical fact versus, exactly. you know.
I wish they would. Roger Goodell in real life in the NFL, he's kind of like a villain. Like, nobody really likes him. He's always getting talked about from players or coaches and, you know, on interviews. And I would like to see him be more of the villain that he supposedly is. I mean, when you're hiding death and you're hiding these stories, that needs to be brought to the light. I don't care who you are. Tell the truth.
So you don't like Roger?
I mean, I like...
Why is he stuck around so much, then?
I mean, because he's a boss. I mean, when Paul Tagliabue, you know, NFL commissioner, who, you know, did so much for the NFL, stepped down, and Roger Goodell, they knew... I mean...
And the movie made it look like the... What was his name?
Paul Tagliabue?
Yeah. Stepping down had something to do with this. That's yeah. what the movie inferred.
Yeah, Roger Goodell was definitely put in place to be the good-looking guy with a face who can handle all of that and take all the heat.
The literal shield.
Yeah,
the shield.
There you go.
Protecting the shield.
Yeah, protecting the shield. Exactly. And that's what he did, because when you're making that much money, there's some dirty business going on for sure.
We just went into a whole other area.
There's a lot of dirty fingers.
This is a concussion, not the Big Short, which...
is that, oh, next week on Popcorn
yeah,
Talk.
Actually, we already did last it. Week
oh, he did it?
Talk.
Oh, yeah, we well, go it. Back and watch it.
Yeah, right. I think they played it probably a little safer mm-hmm. than they could have with the NFL, but I think it was necessary. And I think it didn't take away
from... I think for Sony, it was, again, for Sony, it was very much necessary.
Yeah. And the story, though, is about Amalu. And I think it was exactly. a really great story about him. And
but it wasn't... Here's the thing. Have you guys seen Spotlight? I know you haven't, but maybe... Have you? Spotlight, the Boston Globe movie?
No, I haven't.
Fair. So, I mean, that's basically about the when all the priests got caught.
Oh, okay.
Know?
Oh, I need to see
I went
that.
To Catholic schools, too, so but I get it.
So, but that, again, it could have been very much about, you know, the priests and things like that. But they handled it so well, where it really was their journey. And, again, the criticism for this movie is that as soon as the disease is named, it takes that switch and it changes from just being his story to kind of being this message, right? And even the scenes...
I felt it was both. I saw a lot of criticism.
It started
it
with him
to,
and then it went to the message, I would say.
I think the story is his carrying the message and having the message see the light of day.
But here's the problem for me. It was too much talk. Like, you know, up until the point... up until that point, the wife, his wife, she wasn't really utilized that much. I mean, she brought him out of his shell when they went dancing and things like that, and that was kind of great to see.
At first, I was like, are they putting this in to make this movie appealing to women? Because there was this little love story thing. But then I could see it was actually a real central part of the movie. Mm-hmm.
It is, but, you know, their conversation, their back and forth, it was very much multiple times the same conversation of like, you are doing the right thing. You need to continue. He's like, oh, I don't know if I want to do this. No, you need to do it. And after a certain point, it was like, okay, I get it. You know, it's just now the words are being said.
It's a good hero pep talk. I like it. But I could see at times it was like a teeny tiny bit too much. But I liked all the good dialogue. Like if it was up to me, like what to cut out, it would have been tough because I liked it all. But I could see.
But if you notice about the movie, there was really no women input on concussions. Like I don't want my son. There could have been a whole nother element of women speaking up. All the women just kind of played a role.
Yeah, there was none of that.
Yeah, even the assistant, or for lack of a better term, at the coroner's office.
She was, I liked her too.
But she didn't say much. Great. You know what I mean? I think she could have even offered up an opinion, like, because she was seeing the fight between Bennett and his coworker when Mike Weber comes in, and she could have kind of been a nice mediator. Mm-hmm. That, you know, and again, whether or not it happened, who knows? But for movie purposes, it would have been fun to see.
But Pittsburgh is diehard football. They don't want to believe none of their heroes are, you know, have been caused.
And I think the movie did a really nice job of humanizing these football players that died and showing their struggle. I mean, I don't know how factually correct they showed, you know, Mike Webster before he died, and the others before that. Their emotional outbursts, their inability to think straight, to their I don't know if Mike Webster really was sort of like homeless, living in his car. I wish I knew if those were all, you know, factual. But I think,
I mean, they're based on fact, but you know, I'm sure it's embellished because, a little bit, because you know, you can't follow the how are you going to follow the person?
Because I think most of us think an NFL player dies, we think of them like still living in the glory days and having the huge mansion and the women and the cars and all that, and they, you know, then died. But no, they go through a massive like downhill spiral that's heartbreaking to watch, and you get a sense of what their families have to go through. And we in the public don't see this. Mm-hmm. You know, after they retire from the NFL, they disappear to us, but they're very real and have very real lives afterwards.
But you know, they're young when they retire. It goes beyond just you know, part of the whole thing is it goes beyond just concussions and whatever else. I mean, just the fact like people think that football players make millions of dollars. Well, certain people do, but you know, now imagine like this has been your livelihood. And now you're basically cut off from it. And let's say you are a hero. What are you going to take? You work at the local grocery store, and people are like, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, imagine Tom Brady will be okay. But imagine Tom Brady, you know, bagging groceries. Like, what the hell are you doing?
Or Peyton Manning working for Papa John's when it's all said and done.
Yes. A lot of them, I think the statistic is that within 2 years, gosh, I wish I remember more clearly. It's something like, I'm going to safely say it's like 80% of NFL players within 2 years are broke or bankrupt. I think it's a little bit better for the NBA.
Yeah.
But statistically speaking, what we saw these people go through is right aligned with what the numbers that we know say. And So I just thought the movie was really great about that, because I don't know what these people experience, like what the actual symptoms are when they're feeling them, and what the family members are like so confused and don't know. And
you get hurt, you're a man, you toughen up, you take a shot of Cordial, and you get back in the game. That's how we're taught. You know, you don't sit there, oh, I'm busy, and you get back. You are you a girl? That's how they used to talk. Are you get back in the game? The team needs you. You need this touchdown. And you over there dazed and finger broke and hip hurting. You got to get out there and win the game, because that's what it is.
I think Alec Baldwin said it good. Like, you know, they're just, you know, they're just a car, and you know, it's like the NASCAR. You refuel, you do whatever, and just, you keep them going on the track.
That's it. But that's so sad, because we are not machines. We're people, and it's sad to see that it explained that way, and it makes so much sense.
When Gronk got hurt for the Patriots, everyone was like, what the hell's going to happen? I don't know what actually happened, but the fact that he's basically like back after a week.
Yeah.
You know, he everyone's like, oh, we need Gronk, and you know, he's Gronk's back. Seeing this, and it's just, you got to get that dude back in, because
it's a
Gronk.
Secret society. You know, a lot of guys will never speak bad about it. Gronk knows he's probably shouldn't be out for the season, but he's not going to say nothing because it's money, it's team, it's television. There's a lot of people counting on Gronk to make that appearance.
Well, it's also, you know, I mean, you know, the sad part is, so take another sport. To me, you look at, for me, Derrick Rose of the Chicago Bulls, the dude was so promising when he started. Now, like,
He's a shell of himself.
Yeah, he's faded so long. And you know, I mean, that's a dude that, like, he literally couldn't play. But if he found a way, I'm sure, like, he saw his star, you know, fading away, and he doesn't want that.
Yeah, 25.
So, I mean, right. So most of these people, I think in the NBA, it's like between 60 and 70% of players go broke or bankrupt within 5 years of their last game. So that's not even, you know, all of these people get CTE. That's just statistically what happens to them. And then on top of that, add this brain condition that basically turns your brain to not exactly mush. It's almost like it makes it harder. And these people are like 45, 50 years old. I mean, this is...
But remember, that goes back to somebody playing football all the way back in high school.
And I don't know, actually, how true that is, that it needs to be that long. I don't think that the science is out on it, but I do know that there have been young people, including somebody who was 21 years old, who died in a motorcycle accident, and his mother had his brain tested, and he had CTE. Mm. At 21 years old. So I don't think that this is something, when we hear the word chronic, we think, oh, that must mean years. But actually, medically, it doesn't mean years. It can mean months. Well, Sorry, here's just bad news.
Well, here's what I was able to kind of find in terms of where we're at. Researchers with the Department of Veterans Affairs and Boston University recently found signs of CTE in 96% of NFL players they've examined and in 79% of all football players.
And those were the ones who have died, looking correct. At their brains. So,
again, and that's why the, you know, the players they've examined further. Research in Texas has previously shown a connection between multiple concussions, damage to the outer lining of the brain, depression, and anxiety. And then a doctor named Launcer acknowledged this connection to the guy writing this article through an interview, though he emphasized that side effects of concussion and full-blown CTE are two very different things. And speaking of changes made, since 2009, 49 states and the District of Columbia have instituted laws where high school football players who sustain concussions must be removed from play and can only play if they have medical clearance, but the extent of the law as well as the degree in which it enforces varies from state to state.
So that's like, once you get a concussion, what about preventing the concussions in the first place? Yeah, I don't play.
That's it. I mean, because you're going to hurt something playing football. Football is a rough sport. You know, you're like you said in the movie, the human body wasn't made for football.
Yeah, that was quite the line, right? What was it exactly? God did not intend for us to play football.
And they said, don't bring God into this.
Oof. But actually, God was brought into the movie quite a bit. And I think it worked. As somebody who's not religious and who gets kind of turned off when people are, you know, throwing God around all day, I think it was really well done. It's obviously a part of Dr. Malu's life. And mm-hmm. It was, you know, well played into the story. And it came out in several ways, and I thought it was an actually good touch that gave a really good, nice spirit.
Because it was his character. Dimension.
Yeah, he was faith based for sure. Yeah.
You know, and just even the way he examined everything, and that he was, they did a very good job of characterizing Bennett, but I think they could have used a little bit more with the others. And I think that was the problem.
With the others, as in the NFL side. So is this a movie? Is this like a?
Well, they just threw characters at him to face.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Rather than like, because give him one person to kind of always overcome.
Maybe instead of concussion, it should just have been the Dr. Amalu story. I mean, obviously, it would not have sold a lifetime. As well, but I mean, that's really, I think, what it is. This man has a fascinating life and discovery and journey.
I'm surprised he didn't take the
job in
Washington.
Yeah, I was like, well, dude, why not?
No, but he's
a passionate man.
He doesn't have an ego. And I think the part about where he was no longer going to be doing the autopsies himself and going to be overseeing people, I could see in Will Smith's eyes that was not what was in his heart.
Yeah, but
he liked talking to those cadavers.
But it was interesting because I wish they kind of went more into that, because that to me that was a very pivotal moment. Here you have his wife telling him, like, you know, you're meant for greater good and everything. And okay, it's not just about, like, if you're the Secretary General of the United States,
you oversee
everything. Mm-hmm. You have real power to make real change.
Mm-hmm. I wish it was that easy. I wish it was that easy. We can become really political real fast and talk
about
it. And no, and talk about, well, he didn't quit. He's still doing his work there. But it
just seems
like
so lesser in comparison.
You get to be in that position and you get to make great changes. But some people who do go into these positions get very frustrated. There's a lot of politics and a lot of lobbying. And what these people say, even though they're like the Surgeon General, is very tailored by what big companies and big lobby groups allow you to say.
But at least now you're kind of in the playing field.
In the playing field. And
he's in the playing field. He's got a movie made about him.
With a president who has some Nigerian in him.
There's plenty of Surgeon Generals who have never had a movie made about them. So yeah,
well, he's not a secretary. He's not a Surgeon General either.
Well, he turned it down.
Fair enough. So I just found that a little...
Yeah, that was
again,
weird.
It's historical, but you know, I would have liked to, at least from the film, know exactly why, because it was a little worse. Now, I do want to ask you guys this. Ridley Scott is one of the producers of this movie, but he's the one who actually wanted to direct this movie and didn't. It's Peter Landsman who does, and you know, I thought overall he did a good job. But what do you guys? I mean, what do you think Ridley would have done with this movie? Because on paper, it doesn't quite seem like a Ridley Scott movie,
right,
to me.
They're more straight action based.
Yes, no. I mean, he did American Gangster, so there's a biopic right there. You can't really call Exodus Gods and Kings a biopic, mm-hmm. although you know it's historical. He's done obviously Gladiator and things like that, you know, but he's known for, I would say, in lack of a better term, an epic movie.
Yeah.
You know, whereas this is a much more human story.
Yeah, so it's hard for me to imagine what the movie would have been like had he directed it. And because I love the movie so much the way that it turned out, I guess I'm glad that he didn't. But I don't know, I guess it could be better, but I received the story was very well told. I was thoroughly engaged, and
Cameron, you were at a screening of it,
yeah, definitely.
With Will and Peter in attendance.
Will walked in, definitely. It was crazy.
So what was that experience? What did you learn from it?
Will Smith is still one of the biggest movie stars in Hollywood. Jada Pinkett looks so good.
I'm sure that's exactly what Phil was talking about when he wanted to know your experience.
I'm saying, I'm standing next to Will and Jaden. You know, he comes in there with it, you know. But no, back to the movie. Like I said, I have a 15-year-old, and he loves football, and he wants to play football. But leaving the movie, you know how in the movie Dr. Amalu would go to high schools. Matter of fact, they ended the movie with two 15-year-old kids going helmet to helmet. And, you know, Will basically was just speaking about how I hope I did the movie justice. I hope that you buy into my character. I studied Dr. Amalu, who happens to be in the back, and he stands up and everybody
wow,
claps for
that's
him.
Awesome.
And from right there, that's it. And then we just went right into the movie. And back to Ridley Scott, I was happy with the movie. I wish they would have did a little bit more villainizing of the NFL and really, you know, uncovered some more.
I'm so happy to hear you say that.
Uncovered some more secrets. No, I'm all about tell the truth. Tell the truth. No, but that, yeah, I was satisfied with the movie, but I wish they would have dig a little bit deeper into the NFL side. What are you hiding? Like you said, you can go back to all
I'm
of
sure
Roger Goodell's.
That if they went into it and they did it a full-on expose
they
with
could've.
No concern about legal repercussions, we would have our socks knocked the F
right.
off.
But I think that's a good point. You know, I think I'm finally getting to what I really want to say about it. And, you know, we got a nice the first half of the movie is really going into his world, and we understood his world. And then mm-hmm. after that, we're really in the NFL's world. And coming out of it, I don't think we understand the NFL world.
We didn't get it. Exactly. We go back to the concussion.
Yeah.
We understand it to be the massive, powerful entity I think that it is.
I don't know. And maybe that's the frustrating part. We just want to know more. But, you know, interesting that you say that, Cameron, about Will, because, you know, he's gone on record. So he's done Muhammad Ali before. And anytime he portrays, especially someone living, you know, to do him an injustice as an artist, like, mm-hmm. if they don't like your performance.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that would be rough. You know. So apparently he spent a ton of time with him and even watched the real Dr. Amal do autopsies, which, I mean, talk about doing your research.
I thought Will did a good job because, to be a coroner, I'm not into that.
I mean, he made it look like an art form, kind of.
Yeah.
And he was still very respectful. Yeah.
Listening to Al Green, like, no, I'm good on that. No, but it was a great movie, and Will did a good job. And
so what was the audience reaction?
Everybody, you know, they stood up. Everybody started clapping. And there was an after party, and I was like, that close to getting in, but next time I'm going to be in there. I was that close. I went with like three people. I'm like, oh, I need to get out of the plane. Will, it's me. West Philadelphia. It's like, no. But no, it was a great
movie. Actually, think about that. I wonder if he had any internal conflict about that.
Because... Well, he was on, I seen him on something and he spoke. Like, I'm an Eagle fan. You know what I mean? And I love the Eagles. So he said his son, Jaden, his oldest son, Trey, he said he played football and I loved it and he wanted it. But he said after seeing the film that it definitely left a different impression on him as far as sports. And after sitting here and seeing the movie, I'm like 50-50 with my son playing this summer.
Send him to gymnastics. That's a great sport.
Gymnastics?
I loved it.
I'm not racist. I mean, I'm sexist, but I didn't have a girl.
Oh, man. Okay, how about...
I mean, there's plenty of other sports besides gymnastics.
I'm partial because I did it for
there's nothing like when your son is catch the ball, he runs, and somebody try to tackle him and he puts him right on the ground. Then you got to sit there and watch him. They might have a concussion. Then you got to pray like, oh, my gosh, I hope my son didn't give this little kid a concussion.
Well, in terms of the other
come on,
audience.
I didn't say ice skating.
I mean.
Gymnastics. I mean, that's gymnastics on ice.
Yeah.
How about diving?
Anyway. You make your list.
This is tough, right? Because it's tough. Like. It's not even just saying no to football, but what do you say yes to instead?
Say yes to the dress.
What does that even mean?
Oh, that's another TV show on TLC I watch.
Now you want your son going into fashion? You had a problem with gymnastics?
No, you know what? I'm going to say it right now. I'm probably not going to let him play football. After seeing
high five.
After that last one, he only this got means, 2 more years. He's not going to the NFL.
This means that you really love your son and put his well-being
first.
Yeah,
he's not going to go to the NFL, even though he's really talented
putting
and he has a skill
set. Ego to the side. I am very proud of
him. I wouldn't want to see him get hurt in his last 2 years of high school. You know, he'll be okay. He's a smart kid. He can go to college, but, you know, play flag football.
Fair enough.
What about touch football? Tag. All right,
flag,
fine.
At least.
Okay, fine.
All right, so let's talk about box office numbers. As we mentioned, it opened just a few days ago for us. On December 25th, a lot of movies, Daddy's Home, Joy, Point Break, The Big Short expanded nationwide, and of course there's that movie called Star Wars.
Eating into everything.
Well, here's the thing. You know, we kind of talked about it on The Big Short, but there's an article on Deadline that came out that that Star Wars kind of elevated all of these movies because people are just going to the movies. And as much as people want to hate on Star Wars, it's kind of brought more box office dollars overall in general mm-hmm. to all the movies in comparison to last year and other years.
I hope that's true. It sounds like like I said this before, it sounds like a transplant of the economic theory called trickle down, which has been disproven. But I hope that it has worked out for movies.
That was pretty good right there.
Thank you.
That was good.
I mean, it's tough to say whether or not it affected it negatively or positive, but, you know, it finished 7th with $10.5 million. So, not necessarily, you know, the budget is...
$35
million, I think. $35 million. So, it'll make its money back, definitely in time.
I think people will see it after they all see Star Wars.
It's a good Netflix and chill movie. It's one of those good movies right there.
Is it?
Yeah.
Right after they see The Big Short. I mean, I don't know. I think this is tough to call, like, which movie am I the biggest advocate for? But I think actually there was a lot of things in common. Big Short and this movie. It's like trying to find the truth and the hero who sticks to their guns even though it's unpopular. Or are they really a hero because nobody ever actually prevented anything? They're very, very kind of similar in that way, both epic movies. I mean,
you know, although it was pinned on Will Smith, I really, you know, you mentioned Albert Brooks.
Yeah, he was good.
I thought he did a fantastic job. I really
liked him.
I liked him a lot. He's a great actor. And
when Alec he was Baldwin being indicted, he played that scene amazingly. Mm-hmm. I liked that.
He was very good in that movie. One of my favorites.
Yeah.
That this gets legal, that gets political and indictments because, I mean, you just show this crazy. I like it.
One thing about the movie was that I like. Damn, I didn't lost my train of thought. We was talking about Albert Brooks, but this movie needs to be shown to mothers. Like, this needs to have. They need to get some.
Well, the interesting part was that some of the marketing advertisement, during NFL games, the teaser would play.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting. You know, we talked about kind of did the NFL embrace it or not. Well, it's playing to their audience in terms of the advertising. So.
They have to be on. They have to show that they support it in some light. They have to do a little bit of something. They have to
placate it. Otherwise, if they're trying to ignore it too much.
Exactly. Yeah, they can't just throw it.
But I think a lot of fans, general fans, might not even care that much. I think it's players, potential players, and mothers who, I guess, decide if their kids play football really need to see it. Because as just a fan, you don't really care about the guy. They're just a race car. They're just a piece in your entertainment.
Why do you say that? I mean, he obviously cares.
Well, he cares about his son playing, but we don't know these people off the field, and I don't think we care very much about what happens to them after they're done.
I think they cared about are we doing everything that we can to like provide them lives outside of football? No, but that doesn't mean there is a care and love there in some way, shape, or form.
That the fans have? No, I think the fans love to be entertained and that these people entertain them and give them that thrill and that high and that whole wow.
It's a fantasy for people.
Right, but I don't think that the fans care about the individuals. Because if the fans really care about the individuals, that will have to mean that they can't support
football. Why do you want to cancel football?
I don't want to cancel
football. That's the only thing that's left to do is to cancel football.
Hey, I didn't say it.
Why do you want to care? What does football ever do to you? Football has brought families together.
I'll tell you another day.
Oh, wow.
But, I mean, it's...
Inside joke.
I don't... Look, it would
it
be
reveals
really,
Chelsea's past.
It would be really, really great if there was a way... I mean, I don't know. They have to do some, like, big, huge helmet, like, this size, and it had, like... water in it so that your head doesn't... I mean, I don't...
They got to change it to tag. They have to change it to tag football. Were you a cheerleader in high school?
Yeah, I was.
Okay. So now we're getting deep. Now what? Did he hurt you?
did he
help you after homecoming?
Last thoughts on concussion.
Oh, man. I don't have it out for the NFL. I do have it out for truth and for informed consent. And for fairness, justice, and for the well-being
of humans.
That's
why you do Black Hollywood Lives, Justice is Served.
And that's why I think everybody should see this movie.
See the movie. Think about twice if you want your son or daughter to get an activity. And hockey is a dangerous sport, too. You know what I mean? There's a lot of sport. It's a lot, I mean. But even LeBron James said, my kids are not going to play football because of, the potential. But great movie. Wait for it to come on Netflix. Netflix and chill.
I liked it in the theater. Well, I wonder, you think it would have been... Is there anything lost by seeing it at home?
I don't think so necessarily. But
that's true.
I mean, it's good to see on the big screen. I mean, the thing that you lose is the... You know, we've never seen, as you mentioned, the highlight reels that we see. I mean, there's the mm-hmm. music, there's that, and we're cheering for the hits. Whereas this time... The way they change it, James Newton Howard's score.
You cringe at the hits.
Yeah, he's like, I don't know,
everybody's seen that Dom Beebe hit when he's for the Buffalo Bills when he's hitting, he lands on his head. That hit has been shown. I've probably seen it over 100 times in my lifetime. But to see it in the movie was like, ooh.
the big screen. That's what made it. Yeah.
Well, I don't think it's even the big. It's just the context under which they show it. Because again, had they showed it on the big screen and had like, you know, Rocky, Eye of the Tiger playing, they'd be like, yeah, let's do it.
Exactly.
You know, you have everyone in the movie theater ready to go play football. They just showed a different side that we've not seen.
See it with your kids, though. If you have kids in sports, definitely watch it with the kids and let them have an opinion about what they want to do with them, like, instead of you always trying to push them.
There you go. I think that's well a good said. Point. All right. Let us know what you guys think in the comments section below. After all, that's what it's there for. Let us know what you think. Do you play football? Do you not play football? Let us know your perspective. Let us know what you thought of the movie. Let us know what you thought of our discussion, what we hit upon, what we didn't hit upon. Of course, there's so many different ways and so many different things to talk about. We don't always get to them. Again, that's why the comments section exists. In the meantime, feel free to support Cameron Penny.
Cameron Penny. Instagram, CameronPenny.com. I follow back.
All right. And I'm at Chelsea Galicia, and you can catch me on Black Hollywood Live, Justice is Served, every week.
I'm on the beat, too, on Black Hollywood Live. Hit the floor. Start soon.
There you go. That's on AfterBuzz TV. And support other popcorn talk shows. Of course, Anatomy of a Movie is just one of them. We have Jedi Alliance. We have Action Movie Anatomy, if you like action stuff. We've got Disney movie news. We've got Marvel movie news, DC movie news. So many shows. So check those out on popcorntalk.com. In the meantime, thank you guys for joining us, and hopefully we'll see you on another Anatomy of a Movie soon.
Peace. Bye.
Producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the rest of the Anatomy of a Movie staff. We would like to thank you for listening and subscribing to the show. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to email or tweet us. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been Anatomy of a Movie.